Hello and welcome to Asians Represent. I'm Daniel Kwan.
I'm Agatha Chang.
And we're your hosts. Today's episode is all about streaming, safety tools, D&D, graduating from school, all sorts of cool stuff.
Great.
And who's our featured creator is Kiana Shaw, who's actually sitting at the table with us.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, we're doing something a little bit different. We're not going to record like a separate introduction or anything like that. We're just going to, you know, record with everybody at the table. We don't have too much news. We've got a convention appearance.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be going to Queen City Conquest, which is in Buffalo, New York.
Yeah. Is there another Buffalo?
I'm sure there is.
I know there's like two Clevelands.
I'm sure there's a Buffalo somewhere out there.
There's another Toronto. Did you know that?
Wait, yeah. What?
Yeah.
Where?
I don't know. Somewhere in the States. I mean, in America.
How in America? I need to rephrase that.
Just like you always say Z instead of Zed.
Oh, yeah.
You do.
Oh, yeah.
Panderer.
I do. You know what? That's where our listener base is.
It's true.
I'm going to say, and A-Z-N-S, and they're like, what letter is that?
No, they understand.
And I just say A-Z-N-S.
Sell out.
Excuse me. But yeah, we're going to be at Queen City Conquest in Buffalo.
New York.
New York. We're going to be in Buffalo July 12th to July 14th at Damon College. It's going to be dope. Have you been before?
Nah.
No? It was fun.
Yeah. I've driven through Buffalo before, or by it before. Never been in the city.
No, Buffalo's dope. Queen City Conquest is great. There's good people there. It's like I like the staff team. They're great.
Yeah,
it's like a nice convention. They had this like really soothing painting workshop where you just go and paint minis. And it was just super chill. It was in the Contessa space. I did that on the last day to decompress.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I had a weird Queen City Conquest because we stayed in an Airbnb. And our Airbnb was a loft above a speakeasy.
Oh.
This is like super hip speakeasy. And our Airbnb had a ping pong table.
Wow.
And we played like ping pong for hours. And so on the last day, I was like hella sore from playing ping pong. I mean, table
Asian
tennis.
Is that?
And so I was like, I need to relax and paint some minis.
That's fair. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm going to be running a two-shot, I believe, of Hearts of Wulin. It's not listed that way on the event page because I haven't fixed it yet, but I will. So once you see it, if you want to hop on the wait list to play in my game, you can.
And I'm going to be running Ross Rifles.
Nice.
I think I'm either going to do Ross Rifles or run some D&D.
D&D?
Yeah, I don't think... D&D. I rarely run D&D at cons, so I think I might do some D&D. You know what? I'm going to do some D&D.
Oh, man. Wow. Yeah. The decision has been made now.
Yeah, I'm going to do some D&D at Queen City Conquest. Wow. So if you want to play D&D with me, let's do it.
Yeah. Also, speaking of which, this is like our D&D episode, right?
Because...
Yeah,
this is our first D&D episode. Oh, you say boy. It like we're never going to do a D&D episode.
Boy. I tried.
Because a lot of people were like, when are you guys going to do D&D? And I was like, I got to convince Agatha.
It took literally no convincing.
No, it didn't.
Let's do this.
Kiana said they'd do an episode. Okay.
D&D.
Let's do it. D&D.
I mean, D&D.
Yeah. So that's our first piece of news. We're going to be at Queen City Conquest, July 12th to July 14th. Mm-hmm. We're driving down. It's going to be dope. We should maybe do a meet and greet, or we'll do a meetup. We'll do a hangout. Asians Represent. Let's go get some buffalo wings.
Are you sure?
I'm okay. I'll do it again. Last time I was there, I ate a lot of wings. No numbers.
Are you sure? Why don't you tell our listeners how many you actually ate?
No, I don't want to. I want that to be private. I ate a lot and it made me sick. But in a good way. So we're gonna be in Buffalo for Queen City Conquest.
Uh-huh.
Second piece of news, I wrote a D&D adventure. It's on DM's Guild.
Bow, 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 bow.
It is called Wolf of the South. It is like a Three Kingdoms inspired dungeon crawl for beginners. It's great. I plan on doing a lot more of it. But if you've already purchased a copy or you are going to, hit me up. Let me know on socials at Daniel H. Kwan. Let me know what you think. And then maybe we'll do some more.
Yay, D&D.
D&D. And the non-D&D news, Hearts of Wulin successfully way, way, way overfunded.
Mm-hmm,
y'all,
mm-hmm.
Y'all killed it.
Yeah, we really
community
did.
Came together.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, all of you listeners. And also shout out to all the Gauntlet people who were like, oh, we have to back this because it's a Gauntlet project. I appreciate this.
Oh, I missed it.
Okay. Okay.
There's a bug. I tried to grab it like in a like in a kung fu movie.
Yeah, it's a moth. It's not, you know, we can leave it be.
I tried. Anyways, Kanna, welcome to our I say air quotes, welcome to our studio. Welcome to my home.
I mean, you got all the equipment and everything.
And we have a Marla.
Yeah, and we have a very cute cat.
Have you taken pictures of Marla?
Oh, yeah.
And shown everyone yet?
Not on the Asians Represent Twitter, but maybe I should.
Yeah, maybe you should.
I was going to say, this is our view.
We keep talking about Marla.
I don't think I've ever posted a picture of Marla.
Because she's so cute.
Yeah, she's a very cute cat.
Okay, I've tweeted. Well, I haven't tweeted. I've taken a picture for tweeting of Marla.
Great.
Kiana's in it for like to show proximity between Marla and our recording space. Okay. But welcome to Asians Represent. I mean, it was we've been like talking online for a while, and then we finally got to meet up at Breakout Con.
Yeah, that it was totally by accident because I wasn't planning on going.
Yeah. And then you're like, I'm here, and I was like, what? Let's meet up. And then we were like, wait, do we both have the same tattoo?
Right.
Yeah.
We both have like D20s, except yours is way newer and much nicer than mine.
Yeah, but we both got the geometric D20s going on there.
Yeah. Agatha, you got to get a D&D tattoo.
I'll get 2D6s. You'll get
2D6s. The 2D6s are just like hearts of wooing.
Oh, yeah, I could. I'll just get a sword on my arm.
Yeah, just get a pretty sword.
Like a jian, like one of the Chinese swords?
Yeah, the one that goes thwing when you flick it.
That's a very specific. If your character uses one of those in our D&D actual play, I expect you to go thwing every time.
Single time.
I can't take up all of the comedy space. If I'm already a shrimp,
I thought you were going to be a serious character.
Which
serious
I may not
shrimp.
Be.
Serious shrimp.
What is a serious shrimp, may I ask?
A serious shrimp.
Just a shrimp that's also serious.
I don't know if that exists.
We're planning for Agatha's first long-term D&D game, and Agatha wants to be an aquatic race, specifically a shrimp. We're going to make it happen.
I did say a shrimp. But,
you did.
But we need to talk a lot about that, because why is this shrimp like on land working for... Well, anyway, spoiler alerts.
Yeah, but we're going to make that happen. We're going to figure it out. That's also up to you, which is why I gave you the world document.
The document I have not read.
It's all good.
Calling
it's all
me good. Out on air.
I'm a keener. It's okay. Mm. Now, enough of that. Like, Kanna, you're here. One of the things we wanted to talk about was obviously like streaming.
Mm-hmm.
Because other than like me casually like streaming stuff on Twitch and then forgetting I'm streaming, and I'm just like playing, and it's just like me being silent and playing. my personal Twitch, which I haven't been on in a long time.
Oh no.
You know, like the world of streaming is like really different to me, especially the world of like online games.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because like Agatha, you're in like, you play a lot of games with the Gauntlet community.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's very different from the way I normally play RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
But then Kanna, you do that online, but on a whole other level in that you're playing that with an audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like when we were talking, you were playing like five games a week.
Yeah. When we first, about 3 or 4 months ago, I was doing 5 to 7 games a week.
Woo. Sorry.
Yeah, that's a lot of games.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Not GMing all of them, though.
No, I was GMing only one of them at the time, but you know.
That's still a lot.
It's a lot.
There are only 7 days a week.
Yes.
Yeah, and I had a day off, so I was doing double games on
like back to back?
Not back to back usually, but you know, still enough to be like, I'm doing two games today. I've gotta put on my stream face.
What's your streaming face?
I actually do cosplay for a lot of these streams. So it's pretty, I go from pretty drastic, like, I did a Western game, followed by a Dungeon World fantasy game.
Oh, wow.
So it's just like, gotta change everything.
I've always wanted cowboy boots.
Why don't you get cowboy boots?
I can't pull off cowboy boots.
Yes, you can.
You could.
Why not?
Not a cowboy. So you did a Western game that you like cosplayed for.
Yeah, that I cosplayed for.
Right into a Dungeon World game.
Basically.
That you cosplayed for. Yeah.
What did you play
in like, yeah, I want to know what the costume change was.
So the Western game, I was playing a Chinese-American bounty hunter.
Whoa.
Sweet. Is it like a historical game?
It was somewhat based in history, but a little bit removed. So we could get away from some of the racism.
Was your character like, fuck working on a railroad, I'm gonna hunt people?
I mean, low key, her parents were railroad workers.
Oh my god.
And then, you know, she managed to not quite get out, and then she got hired by not a great person, and the only way that she could get herself out of it was by becoming a bounty hunter. And you know,
I mean, that's fair.
It's what you do in the Wild West.
It's what you do in the Wild West. Yeah, it was. And the funny thing, it's a Pulp Cthulhu game.
Oh, nice.
Ooh.
So you know, we're also dealing with all these weird, spooky things.
Yep.
Yeah, my character June also managed to get a girlfriend somehow in the midst of the horrors. So she's now very good friends, quote unquote, very good gal pals with the local brothel owner.
Right.
That's sweet.
Yeah, so she's dating the brothel madame, shooting eldritch horrors in the face.
Yo.
Wow. That sounds really great. Sick stream.
Yeah, yeah. She was a lot of fun. And then, yeah, and then my Dungeon World game was like, I'm playing a bard in that one.
Okay.
Gender fluid bard. So that's they sweet. Are a whole another level of flamboyant.
That's very cool. Do you wear a hat with a feather in it?
A wig.
I
technicolored wig.
I don't, but for that, I wear all of the jewelry I own in one go.
Nice.
just like layering.
Yeah, it's like I have like five different rings on. Like I have like
just like decked at least. Decked out like a mumble rapper.
Yeah, Loki.
Wow.
He's a funny character to play, and it's just. Yep.
That's awesome.
That is very awesome.
So it's a very drastic shift in costumes for that.
That's sweet. Like, I mean, I think the thing with streaming is like you are not only challenged mm-hmm. with playing a game that's so, at least in my opinion, I mean, yeah, everybody can differ, but in my opinion, like, you know, tabletop RPGs are meant to be like played face to face. You know, like we're sitting right here, you know, when you look at each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we're recording Masks and when Jungir and Tommy have a moment and I just get to look at Amar and then we just talk.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The thought of doing that online, just I can't comprehend it.
Yeah, it's a very different experience. Yeah. I mean, we usually play through, you know, video conferencing software.
Like Zoom.
Zoom's the big one. and yeah, it's just getting used to like, looking at the camera and also looking at the screen.
Yeah.
And that's just very interesting, especially with my setup because I have a laptop and I have my webcam on a tripod.
So you got to keep like glancing up.
Yeah, I have to keep glancing up and down to try, like when it's my turn, I just like, okay, I'm just going to focus on the camera.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure where everyone's reactions are.
Yeah.
Until I like look down.
Yeah, it's like in the podcast, like talking into the mic, but also trying to talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one interests me because you watch people on. I've tried watching people on Twitch, and mm-hmm. you see the chat just like explode, especially on like the D&D channel.
Oh.
And then you see the people. I'm like, and if you're like an independent streamer, mm-hmm. like how do you manage that? And then you release this document.
Yeah,
and it's like safety tools, like we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But using them in stream.
Yep.
Yeah. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah. So I guess we should kind of go first into what safety tools are.
Yeah.
So there are certain tools that are used to help make sure everyone is having fun and that whatever content is being explored is, you know, not beyond somebody's boundaries or limits. So it's just basically everyone's having fun. Nobody's super uncomfortable or... nothing's being crossed over there. And so it's a series of ways to check in with everybody before, during, and after a game. So there's a whole bunch of these. And yeah, so the thing with, streaming is that it's so much more high stakes in a sense and so much more performative.
Yeah.
Like with a home game, with these safety tools, you can use them and not worry about interrupting the flow. But and honestly, with safety tools, you shouldn't worry about interrupting the flow because more important.
Safety is more important.
Yeah, safety is more important. But, you know, when you're streaming, there's often this idea that you want to be performative.
You want to entertain people. Mm-hmm.
And there's this whole idea of, like, I'm not going to bring up if I'm uncomfortable or if something's happening or, you know, everyone's going to see that I'm freaking out because something has happened that I'm not okay with. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a way to say, hey, I'm not okay with this. I'm not cool. So
is that kind of like why you decided to write this document in the first place?
Yeah, that was definitely a first thing. I had a good conversation with a streaming friend of mine. And we're talking about, you know, how can we make D&D and tabletop live streaming spaces more inviting for beginners? Because his whole thing, Scraticus Academy, it's all about inviting beginners to try out gaming through these live streams.
Mm-hmm.
And so we ended up coming across, we're talking about safety tools. And then we were kind of like, wait, it's really hard to find any form of centralized information about safety tools.
Right, yeah.
Like there's, and the thing is with safety tools, the more people know about it and the more it's accessible, the more it's going to be used.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking about this and I was like, hey, maybe I can come up with something. So one day I just sat down and just made this whole document, which originally was a quick reference guide specifically for streaming about how to use safety tools.
So I have a question. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched these streams before. So when you use them, do you also, like, does the whole chat know that you've decided to invoke safety. yeah. So say if you're like, I don't know if you use X carding,
often there is kind of a at least a verbal recognition among the cast upon which the chat will then know, and sometimes we do reassure chat, like often we'll have chat open and if somebody's like, are they okay, we can be like, yes, we're like, we o-carded this in the background, like we did this and we're okay. But yeah, often we try to respect the X card and script change or whatever else. And usually that does mean having to stop and having to verbally talk with each other. And if you're on stream, then it's pretty obvious to the chat that you're like, okay, we needed a break here. We needed to check in and make sure we're doing okay here.
Yeah, because that's not something you see on streaming too much. Because like you watch Critical Role, like I've tried so hard to watch Critical Role.
No shade.
It's not shade. I'm just like, it's long. There's it's like, a lot. Like 3-4 hour episodes.
They are.
Like, and like, I want to pay attention.
Yeah.
And so I want to know what's going on. But like, I personally can't sit for like 4 hours and watch that.
That's valid.
So like Relics and Rarities, which is the one I really like. They're a little bit shorter.
Mm.
But like, you don't see big shows like that using safety tools.
Yeah.
Because they, I mean, it's for entertainment.
Yeah.
And I mean, one of the other challenges is like a lot of these safety tools we talk about, like the X card, are tangible. They're at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I think is really cool about your document is that you talk about like the X and O cards, but using them in private chat.
Yeah, yeah. I think that was the biggest challenge with that. You know, safety tools have been often used in the past, especially in conventions or at home games, where, yeah, they're tangible things. And other than just making sure people knew about safety tools was how to use them. Let me tell you how you can use them in an easy way.
In a digital space.
Yeah, in a digital space. And I think with the newest version of it, I kind of moved away from it being specific to streaming, but having a lot of guidelines on online play anyways. Because I'm like, I mean, these are useful outside of it. And I was realizing how many people in general just had never heard of safety tools before. Even outside of online play or live streaming or whatever.
How does the Gauntlet community do it, Agatha?
There's the Gauntlet safety policy. So it kind of lists the kind of behavior that we expect and then also the tools that we can use and the basic of which is the X card and also the open door policy. And this is more like if you're not streaming, because the open door policy is where you can basically, if you're at any point needing to leave, then you just leave.
Like how does somebody, like, cause I know how you folks do it, cause you type X into the private chat, yeah, or N or O.
Yeah.
How does the gauntlet do it?
You usually,
same thing, you just like type it or you show it?
Yep. Yeah. And I've seen it done in all of the ways where sometimes people type into the chat. And I feel like this is actually really great in a way that it's harder to do in like an in-person game, because a chat is just like a lot more, like a lot less confrontational and a lot less effort. Even like the physical energy you need to expand to like do it is a lot less. And the people also say like, I want to X card that. Or I've also seen people physically make the gesture of like crossing their hands.
Yeah, crossing their hands or making O with their hands.
Yeah, we don't do the O card as much, which I think is a really good tool. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So a lot of the X and O stuff that it talked about in the document is kind of pulling from a bunch of different resources and mashing it with the support flower.
Yep.
Which is the red, yellow, green. Mm-hmm. But the O card, which was actually created by Kira McGran, is essentially the, I look like I may be, you know, crying or freaking out or whatever else that you may have concern, but I'm okay. Keep going. This is all good with me. And it's actually very good for streaming because often, again, with the performative element, sometimes your RP will escalate a lot.
Yeah.
I have cried many a time on a stream.
Whoa.
Like, yeah, I'm a straight up crier. And there are often times when I'm like, yes, I'm fine. Like, continue
just let me cry.
With this. Yeah. This is in character, or sometimes it is me, but I'm like, I'm okay with this. Like, we can keep going with this content. I've given this the green light to keep going. Yeah.
So can people make that O to check in with someone?
Yeah, yeah. So that's the other big thing is the O question mark.
So it's like the okay check-in.
Yeah.
Got it.
Basically.
Like in LARPing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very...
I learned that.
Yeah, there's a lot of overlap with the tabletop safety tools with LARPing.
Right.
Which, I mean, kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because both are extremely performative.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there's this whole, yeah, you can do the O question mark. Hey, are we all good here? Mm-hmm. We actually just had that recently in... the Urban Shadows game I'm in, my character has not a great relationship with her family. And at one point, her brother actually grabbed her arm. And we were kind of playing out this very tense family situation. And we all went, hey. The GM was like, oh, question mark, we good? And everyone in the cast was like, yep, we're good.
Right.
It's not just towards me. Mm-hmm. It's meant to be for everybody. Because. Yeah. You know, you don't have to be the player in the situation to still be affected by what content is happening in the game.
Yeah. And that's why it's cool that you also include, like, the end card as well in your doc.
Yeah, yeah. So the end card is the, let's slow down. The, we need to, like, I don't want to totally remove this, but, you know, I'd like to chill out. I'd like to put this behind a veil. I'd like to, you know, not talk any more detail about this.
They don't, need not escalate any further.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and we end card a lot in our content anyways. Like, for example, if you're playing, you know, let's say Masks or whatever, you're not going to go into very intense detail about an injury unless you have.
I mean, I personally am okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
But like generally speaking for the genre, you don't do like a...
It's like a it's about kids getting
hurt. It's about kids getting hurt. And like you're not going to do like extremely gratuitous, like...
Gory description.
Yeah. Because we can be like, yes, this happened. We don't need to go into more detail. We get the idea. Yeah. And the end card can be a way to just be like, all right, like I'm cool with this staying. I just don't want to...
Escalate
it anymore.
Yeah. 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 In this way, yeah, I think that's so great because the safety tools in this sense are also not just for like establishing people's personal safety, but also for maintaining tone.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the whole thing too. My co-creator of the tabletop RPG safety toolkit, Lauren, says that, you know, the more that you use safety tools and the less special it is, the better.
Yeah, it normalizes it.
Yeah, it normalizes it, and it can be a very useful tool for, you know, yeah, for content. Like, mm-hmm. And actually the toolkit Script Change by Bree Bowe is really good about that, which essentially it frames a lot of this stuff as in, like, a movie or a video, mm-hmm. where you just, like, pause, and, like, we need to pause on this, we need to rewind. And the great thing about that, it can just be like, my character wouldn't say that, let's rewind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we go, and we talk about where we want to rewind to, mm-hmm. and then we go, okay, and now we're just going to change it.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, retcon.
Yeah, retcon it. Which a lot of people feel bad about doing, but really shouldn't.
Like, no.
You know, sometimes it's, when you're role-playing and it's improv, you're like doing 10 million things at once. Sometimes you're going to do or say things that you're like, wait, that didn't feel right.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
So. I mean, it's role-playing games are a really cool opportunity to experiment as well, mm-hmm. and try new things. And sometimes those things just don't work. And these are also low-risk environments,
yeah.
where you can actually learn from your mistakes rather than crucify somebody for saying something. You're
yeah.
like, okay, let's script change that and let's go back.
Yeah.
And let's do this differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great, this is great for it to be a learning tool, for like RPGs to be a learning tool, which Daniel, you're very familiar with.
Right? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I think if anybody, was it backed the skill point zine? That should be shipping soon.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I wrote a bit on there for education.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I mean, like what you did with that document and what you're doing with streaming and just being visible in that mm-hmm. sort of streaming community is super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because A, it, for me, not only normalizes the use of safety tools in the production side,
mm-hmm.
but also discussing them very openly, like having them integrated as a part of the entertainment,
mm-hmm.
normalizes it, like you said. Like, that's so important. That's like, that's why we wanted to make the entire creative process very visible in masks.
Right.
So we had all, you know, the Rose Thorns and Wishes. We had, like, we talked about, like, Lines and Veils. We have, like, the hard conversations that players have behind the scenes as a part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And, like, using safety tools can, for some people, be really hard if they've never done that before.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And even if they have, because different group dynamics.
Difficult.
Yeah, we're not confrontational beings. Like, we want to get along. And yeah. safety tool can feel, like, very confrontational if you're in that mindset of, oh, I'm going to ruin the game if I do this thing. I'm going to ruin this moment or whatever.
And I know a lot of people are hesitant to use the X card because they're like, no, that can't happen. But having other tools in place mm-hmm. that you can use before an X card is even necessary is also super great.
Yeah. And also the X card is not a universal tool.
No.
Mm-hmm. There are many, you know, other tools out there that suit different people's needs and different people's desires out of how they want to deal with safety at the table.
Yes.
The X card in particular can be not great for people with PTSD and especially with trauma, dealing with people dismissing their trauma or, you know, saying that, you know, or trying to ignore or suppress their trauma. And the X card can kind of emulate that feeling of like, no, your trauma doesn't exist. And so there's, you know, there's the Luxon technique by P.H. Lee, which kind of addresses the needs of people with those boundaries in a way that's different. And that's totally valid as well, where you with that one, you give total fiat control over to the person who's affected so that they take the lead as to how that content is going to be handled for that particular scene with that game.
Yeah, let's unpack this a little. So mm-hmm. when you said that the X card can sometimes be, it's triggering, I suppose?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So it's triggering in that it mimics that sort of like being dismissed. What do you mean by that?
So with some people who have PTSD, mm-hmm. There are times where perhaps the people in their life, even especially the people who are doing, who are inflicting the trauma,
mm-hmm.
Will negate their feelings.
Right. And how does the X card mimic this experience?
Because it's saying, nope, that doesn't exist anymore. Like it kind of, it X's it out, right?
It ends the conversation.
Yeah, it ends the conversation. Mm-hmm. It removes it rather than...
So if someone else were to X-card this content, is that what you mean? Or if you, by X-carding it, you feel like this is like what other people do to yourself?
I feel like PH Lee does a lot better explanation of this in in their post, which is if you're interested, the latest version of the guide has a full a link to it. Yeah, it's just the general feeling of like, you know, it's being treated as if it's something to be dismissed rather than explored in a way that makes me feel like I'm in control of the situation.
Right.
I think that's kind of the general feel of that.
Mm-hmm.
So by giving total fight control over to whoever is affected by this content, they are given control over that situation where most traumatic experiences, you're out of control.
Right.
So it's very, and it's usually framed as a want or need. Like, I would like this character to be okay. Like, I would like this character to go off and do something else. Or I need a break. Right? It's this very open discussion about how to lead forward with how the rest of the scene or the game or whatever else is going to go, essentially. So it's very interesting, the Luxon technique. It's definitely an interesting other set of tools technique to kind of discuss.
Right.
You know, different people's needs for how to deal with content that may be triggering or uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Otherwise not great for them.
Yeah. So I have another question specifically about streaming.
Yeah.
So if one were to invoke a safety tool on a stream, this is actually, you're putting yourself in a very vulnerable place, right? Because you're saying that, oh, whatever just happened makes me personally very uncomfortable. Or you just don't want it. I guess it depends on the situation and the scale. And because there are so many people watching, that means that all of these people now know this about yourself. So, like, did any of you, when you're streaming with your other, whoever you're streaming with, like, do you ever talk about that?
I guess that there is this kind of idea that, like, with any of these safety tools, it's the idea that you don't owe anybody an explanation. Like, you don't have to explain why this content is not cool with you.
Right.
And in some ways, yes, it is very vulnerable to be like, this content's not cool with me. But sometimes that may be a day-to-day thing.
Right.
Like, I'm real sad. Like, I've been feeling real sad today. I don't really want to do sad content. Like, I don't want that dog to be sad.
And I guess that's why, like, using it in the private chat is also good.
Yeah.
So you're not, like, hitting that X card and then everybody in the public chat knows that's happening.
Yeah.
And then acknowledging it is entirely up to the cast.
Yeah.
And seems like something that you can discuss in advance as well. But that's also why, like, the end card is useful, because you'd be like, we're going to approach a point where I don't want to hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And that way you can maybe avoid it.
Yeah. And I'm also realizing, yeah, if it's the private chat, then that means that you never have to say who was the person.
No, yeah, we just go.
Which is very cool.
And the GM can just be like, hold on a sec. We're gonna shift back. And sometimes it is the GM who's invoking the safety tool. That happens.
Yeah.
I've had that happen before when somebody was like, we're going to be describing eye trauma in great amount of detail. I'm like, nope,
I don't do that.
We're going to end card that because I can't do that. Like,
I don't do eyes or finger trauma.
Yeah.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah. Very specific. Because I hurt my finger doing martial arts one time.
Mm.
And it was like, the thought of hurting my finger again is like, ooh.
Yeah, that's fair. I also have other ones that I'm not going to mention.
No, you don't have to.
I
don't want to traumatize other people.
Public about my stuff.
Yeah. Like, and I tend to use examples to help explain these things. So the eye trauma one is a good one because it's like, it's pretty specific and a little bit weird, but also like,
I don't think it's weird.
I don't think that's weird at all.
I don't think it's weird because people who can see are just like, that's something like the thought of not being able to see is pretty terrifying.
It's also like the texture of your eyes. Yeah,
I think it's...
after holding an eyeball in science in high school, right? That's where my fear started. Right? Because I know how delicate it is now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's not that okay. pressure.
Yeah. Let's not go into it.
Anyways.
Yeah, but I think it's more, it's less, it's weird. It's stuff you wouldn't think about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's stuff you wouldn't like. Think of like, oh, that's going to be something that might be brought up and I might not be cool with.
Mm-hmm.
So by having kind of more specific ones like that, it kind of opens up the conversation.
Right.
Especially often what I do when I'm doing like veils or this stuff is having an anonymous like a Google Doc to let people fill it in.
Oh, nice.
And then at the GM, I always put in mine first so that it prompts people to think and put stuff down. Without, again, feeling like they have to explain.
Yeah.
Or they have to be like, you know, I'm going to tell you very specifically that these are my things.
Yeah.
We can all collectively as a group be like, okay, these are things that are hard lines or soft boundaries. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to go from there.
Yeah, that's very cool. I've started encountering this in my in-person games as well, where everyone would write on a sheet of paper and then pass it to the GM so that no one knows who wrote what. And mm-hmm. I never realized that was a pretty important part of like safety tools, but the anonymity is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's just, that. It helps especially with groups that aren't comfortable with each other yet or haven't played together before
mm-hmm.
because especially in convention settings,
yeah,
you're just like, I don't really want to, you know.
I don't want people to see me in a certain way because I don't know if they will. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Exactly. So
I think a lot of people who oppose safety tools too are coming from a perspective of playing with their friends for like a long time. They're like, well, my group doesn't, we never encounter this.
Yeah.
And I say that, I mean, we all know what kind of voice I'm trying to emulate here.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, this didn't happen in my group. Just be better friends.
Yeah. So that's, so, you know, advocating for safety tools, I do get a lot of people coming at me about, you know, you're being a baby, like this is super childish, like, and I'm just like, the fact that you're able to talk with your group and say we don't need safety tools is a form of safety and care. That's what it is, my dude.
Yeah, I think it really amazes me how angry people get about it, because it's like, bro, if you don't want this at your table, nobody's forcing it. But if you want it, here's a free resource that you can choose to have or not. I don't know why people get so angry.
There was this convention in nearby. I'm not going to call out a convention also because I forget which one, so I don't want to name it. But there was a convention in Southern Ontario.
Okay.
And
getting real specific.
Real specific. In Southern Ontario. It was a very small regional convention in Southern Ontario. And basically this guy had posted on, it was like a white dude.
Yeah.
Posted on, you see that, like, yep, of course. you posted on like their Facebook group and was like, yo, I don't know, we're basically refusing to use the X card.
Mm.
And he was like, I'm refusing to use the X card because I don't think it makes games safer. You're better off just putting police tape around my table. And it's caused this huge shitstorm in the comments. The point where like people were getting like banned and threats were thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, dude, just like, it's free, it's there, and it make people more comfortable playing your game.
Yeah, your game, especially in a public convention setting.
Yeah,
and the thing is, like, even if you have been playing with your friends for like 20 years or whatever, safety tools are still useful because there's another dynamic that happens when you've been playing with somebody for so long that you don't feel okay with, like, telling mm-hmm. them that you're not okay with things because you're like, because sometimes...
What if they call me a baby? Like, they just call this random stranger on the internet.
Yeah, and also, like, the thing is that people need to understand is that what makes you uncomfortable, what's triggering for you, can change
mm-hmm.
on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
In the long term, what may be okay for you at one point, maybe later down on the road, it's not okay. Mm-hmm. This happens a lot with parents, with new parents. Like, all of a sudden, they're like, no, I can't do violence against kids.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do that anymore. Yeah. Like, because I have a child. And that's just...
And suddenly, that's terrifying.
Yeah, and suddenly, that's a terrifying prospect for them. And so, there's this whole, you know, but now you've been playing with this group for 20 years, and you've been totally fine before. Why are you going to try to call this out now? So
okay, so I have a story about this violence against children, very specifically,
okay,
yeah, at a game that should have been X-carded. Okay. When I would have, I've never X-carded at like a game before, mm-hmm, and this is the time that I would have.
Interesting.
And it wasn't there.
Oh. Mm.
This is at D&D Live.
Snap. Wait. Oh.
Yeah, D&D Live didn't use any safety tools.
Oh.
Okay.
So you couldn't say that.
I couldn't even say it. So basically what happened was we were playing this epic. Mm-hmm. Do you know what an epic is?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
I'm familiar with the concept.
Okay, so for the listener, an epic is like this giant, massive Adventurers League game of D&D, and they... all of the tables are interconnected and interwoven in this big story. And in this story, we were all going to hell. We're going to Avernus, which is like the first layer of hell in the D&D multiverse. And we are going to ride on these like war machines to go steal these like soul coins. They're little like coins imbued with souls.
Cool.
But it was like Mad Max. It was cool, but the GM was like punishingly hard on us,
right?
And like several times during the adventure, that the players and I, we were all like, are you sure this is a level one adventure? and like they were just like, yep. It was like one of those moments where it's like the DM was like rolling damage and you could see their eyes were just like, oh my god, that's a lot of damage. And even though it was behind a screen, like, I don't know if you do this too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, you don't die.
Yeah,
right. I'm like, how much health do you have left? 14. You just took 10 points of damage. And on the dice, it reads 30.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you do that because you're supposed to be a fan of the players.
Yeah.
But this GM was like, okay, you take 30 damage. I'm like, I'm a level one halfling fighter. Yeah. Okay, I'll start making death saves now.
Yeah.
But anyways, the DM TPK'd us twice.
Oh, my God.
Cool.
But the whole thing was like, oh, if you have enough soul coins, we'll resurrect you.
Right.
And so our first player, who's going to be a guest on the show, Lemmy, shout out Lucky Hand Dice Co.,
yeah,
got killed. And we were like immediately like, yep, we'll trade our dice, our soul coins to resurrect them.
Yeah.
And they had these actors who were playing imps, and they were like, are you sure? And the GM was like, are you sure you have to steal these? I'm like, no, we're not going to let another player not play the game.
Yeah.
So basically what happened was we ended up being in debt, like soul coins.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And so we had no agency over the entire story. At the end, we went back to Baldur's Gate.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where, like, people were getting attacked and had, like, a character who was driving this hellish vehicle through Baldur's Gate hitting people. And there was this thing where it's like, this devil was driving a car into children.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's, like, a hard no for me as, like, as somebody who works with children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, can we not have this? And they were like, James was like, no, this is part of the adventure. It's part of the epic. I was like, fucking kidding me? Okay, what can I do? And then she was like, you can throw yourself in the way to like save the kids. I'm like, cool. I throw myself in the way to save the kids.
Yeah.
I like literally with an hour left in the adventure, I kill my character so mm-hmm. I don't have to mm-hmm. like have kids die in the adventure because I had no agency over it.
Yeah.
So I die for a third time. And I sit and I have to watch the rest of it. Because there was no X card in place. There was no nothing. And it was just these random things that were happening.
Yeah.
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 It's also one of those things that when, you know, the people talk about, you know, it's you're ruining the sanctity of my story or whatever, this adventure. You're just like, it's the principle of care. You're going to put the people first.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to make a story, you could write a book.
Yeah. It's like we were given no other solution. Like, could I shoot an arrow at its tire so it would veer away? Nope, it's a hellish vehicle. It's all made of metal. Okay. Like
if it's clear that, you know, if it's clear that somebody and that's also part of the principle of care is if you notice someone else at the table not being okay with something, you can speak up too.
I've voiced my discontent.
Well, that's good.
Like and many times in the three, 4 hour game.
Yeah.
It was like, I legitimately felt uncomfortable. And I don't often feel uncomfortable playing RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the first time I was like, A, because like I knew how much people had paid to be at this mm-hmm. event.
Right.
And like I got to go for free.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit. Like, this is like one of the worst D&D games I've ever played. Like, Like, my standard, one of the best D&D games I've ever played was when we played with the Broadswords.
Oh, yeah, that was very fun. That the was, one that was not recorded.
Yeah, that was fucking funny.
It was really funny.
Like, that was one of my best. The second was, like, you know, all the games I play with my friends are amazing. And then this one was, like, okay, first of all, like, we have no agency, which is very common in Adventurers League. You kind of just do it.
Interesting.
B, like, we're going to hell. There are no safety tools. And there was just, like, they're just throwing violence at us.
Right.
And, like, I have a pretty high threshold for that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there was no mention that, like, kids would be killed.
Yeah. And I think this is a great example of how you sometimes just don't know when you're going to need a safety tool.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
You don't know, even at your table with your friends. Like, you just don't know. Sometimes you come up with something, you're like, oh, my gosh, this is sick. And then it's like someone at the table might be like, oh gosh, I'm not comfortable with that.
Yeah.
And but then it's too late.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you already have a previous establishment of an expectation where you can say no.
Yeah.
And that will be heard.
And the thing is that, you know, it's very hard to set that. It's very hard to set a relationship of trust that way.
Yeah.
It's a very long process and it's an ongoing process. That you constantly have to do. You constantly have to say, I am here for you. I care for you. You're going to come before whatever I do.
Whatever you do. But everyone's experience is still going to be incredible.
Yeah.
Because everybody feels safe.
Yeah, exactly.
And you also feel better about pushing boundaries. Because,
oh, absolutely.
Because you know that you're not accidentally hurting someone.
Yeah.
Because exactly. They'll tell you if you are. So then if they're not, that's why the safety tool actually sometimes helps you explore things that you might not have been comfortable exploring. Oh, yeah.
It otherwise. Gives you the ability to do more, mm-hmm. not less. A lot of people think it reduces your ability to play. It actually lets you push the boundary, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I think a really good example of this, I really love Bluebeard's Bride. I've run many games of it, all of it on stream, actually. And that's a feminine horror game where mm-hmm. it focuses on there's a lot of the horrors that women have to go through, and it's a very intimately scary game. And the thing is that when I have, when I know what people's boundaries are, and I know the lines and veils, then I can go hardcore on all the other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I had a group of, you know, all women, which is very interesting because I got the lines where, you know, like, stuff with children. I'm like, cool, that's fine. I think, like, bees was another one. I'm like, okay, cool. But it was interesting because the veil, sexual violence ends up being a line in most of these games.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept it open for this one because I wasn't sure. And it actually became a veil instead of a line, which was really interesting.
For
a
Bluebeard's Bride game.
Yeah.
Wow.
And with all women. And I was like, this is really fascinating, like, having this, you know, all woman game. And being able to kind of explore just a little bit. I didn't go very much into depth because it was a public streamed game.
Yeah, totally.
And I didn't want to, you know, expose my chat too much to that. But, you know, it gave me a little bit of freedom to work with that.
Would you also violate community content for Twitch or anything like that?
I don't know if you would.
Oh.
Yeah, because that's another thing to consider.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's a whole fun thing there, too.
Because, Twitch has a ton of rules.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it would very much depend on what I ended up describing. Like, I didn't, it was very much like behind a curtain, like.
Yeah, no, totally.
You know, something happened to this woman.
Yeah.
And we know that she was violated in some way. But yeah, it just gave me, knowing what the boundaries were, gave me a free go at doing all sorts of other stuff. Like, I went really heavy into the body horror in that one. I was like, all right, we're just going to do a real lot of messed up bodies in this one. Cool. And that was fine. Mm-hmm. And I managed to freak people out without, you know, hurting them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like that is very interesting how an all women game, it's then people want to explore a bit of it because I think there's actually, you do feel a little bit safer.
Yeah.
To explore that kind of, content when there's no like gender politics that's inherent in any kind of like mixed gender sort mm-hmm. of situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But it's this idea that like, and I was like, you know, don't don't be afraid to like tell me if I am pushing bound, if suddenly you realize this is not okay with you. Like, go ahead. I can come up with more real messed up shit. Like,
right.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm stuck to.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
This stuff. Yeah. At the end of the day, it just comes down to principle of care. It comes down to, you know, I care about my players and I care about, you know, not, no matter what happened to the characters, the players are fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that we're all having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm not the kind of person to get attached to my characters. Like,
It's because you DM a lot.
I DM a lot. Like, I was playing, so I work at a private school, part-time doing, like, RPGs. And so, like, me and, like, a colleague of mine who's also a writing partner, we run a game there. And we were experimenting with me being, like, a surrogate player, kind of modeling good behavior. And in the story, like, it got to this point where I'm like, well, the only solution I see for my character is killing my character, and I'm okay with that.
You love killing your character,
but this was like to save another player,
right? Okay, that's fair.
It was like the 1970s. We were all spies.
Oh man,
we went to this casino and we were on the rooftop, and there was a helipad, and we got betrayed by somebody, and I did the whole like no, and I dove in the way and like took a bullet from one of the players.
Nice,
but then
nice.
In doing that and sacrificing my character, the kids were like, no, and then in character, and they were like, oh my god, Daniel, ah, and then they basically like were at a point where they weren't working together, and then they rallied together.
Yeah, that's cute.
You were the martyr.
I was.
They unified them.
Like death.
Yeah, but yeah, if you can find any way to make your game more fun, do it. And you know, the point of the toolkit and, you know, the guide on safety tools is really just providing those tools to have in your belt and in your toolkit that you can use them whenever you need to. Because, you know, you never know.
Yeah,
and you
true.
Might as well be prepared. You, the metaphor that I like to use a lot is that safety tools is like the net at a circus.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to hope that the trapeze act is great. It goes off without a hitch, or like the danger and the risks are there, but you know, everything goes smoothly. But you know, if something happens, I'd rather there be a safety net there than to clean up the mess afterwards.
No, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I love what you mentioned before about, also evoking the safety tools for someone else. If you see that they might be uncomfortable, that's actually really great, because sometimes people aren't.
When people are
overwhelmed,
feel uncomfortable, and
yeah,
they don't necessarily have the emotional capacity to really even be like, oh, I, whatever, can we rewind that or anything? So that's a great call. So that even if you just see someone being uncomfortable, it doesn't, you don't always have to be the person to do it yourself. If you're uncomfortable, like you can, if I see that Daniel's like, wait, this car is coming for these kids, I can be like, yo, I'm not cool with that.
And you know, that's also a line for me.
Yes. So I can stand with you.
Yo.
That's how it is. I'm making a pose.
Put that on a shirt.
Yeah.
Stand with you.
Stand with you. Cry yourself to sleep.
Cry yourself to sleep. Punch you with the feels.
Yeah. Yeah. All of that. So, all right, Kiana.
You said you cry yourself to sleep. Oh, yes, Kiana.
Look, that was not...
It's the flow of the conversation.
So good.
Agatha had a lot of questions, not just about safety tools.
Yes. I have another question, actually, about community management. I promise we can
move on from the stream. No, go for it. I want to make sure all your questions get answered, because you were like, I have so many. And prior to the recording, Agatha was just asking those questions. I was like, these are so good. Save them for the recording.
Yeah. I was like asking Kiana, what's your favorite cake? And then Daniel was like, save it for the recording.
Wait, you said cake? I thought you said game.
No, I said cake.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Straight up.
I thought you said game, and I was like, that's such a great question.
I couldn't say nothing, yo.
Yo, I thought you meant game. You said cake?
I said cake.
She did say cake.
Straight
up.
Oh,
my God. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Also, like, I don't know if you know this. I'm hard of hearing in my left ear.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because you're sick?
No, just I've been hard of hearing in my left ear
since,
like, 2015. I blew up my eardrum shooting cunts. Yay. When in Texas.
I'm in hard of hearing buddies.
Yeah, I just like, I have like very little hearing in my left ear.
That's fair. That's fair. That's
totally my fault too. Blame toxic masculinity.
Sometimes.
Got pressured into shooting guns without hearing protection.
Yeah.
I feel like I might have like given into that as well. If someone was like, "Why are you such a baby?" I'd be like, "Oh, I'm sorry."
I was like down in Texas with an ex-girlfriend, and her family lives there. Ooh. And her dad was like, "Here we go." I'm like, "Should we have hearing?" And then, anyways, yeah, that happened.
Yeah, well,
we're not together anymore. So,
yeah.
Take that, Texan.
Take
dad.
That, Texan dad.
Just kidding. If you're from Texas and you're a dad,
I left my hearing in Texas.
Oh, jeez. That's hectic. Okay, so my question is. So we talk a lot about safety for your players on streams. So do you do anything in terms of like whoever's watching the streams, or is that a different
ballgame? It's interesting. I mean, a whole part of it is, yeah, in some ways you do want to extend it to your chat and to your viewers. But obviously they don't have as much of a
influence agency.
Yeah. Agency. Over what's happening because they're watching. Mm-hmm. But in the same way, you know, live streaming is such a very...
Interactive
and immersive experience in a lot of ways. People get very invested into these stories, especially if you've been, like, watching it for, like, a long time. Mm-hmm. You're really into it, and you're going to feel strong emotions attached to it. And I do make some suggestions as to how you could do it. Maybe not so much the X and the no cards, mostly because...
Then people might just say, like, I don't like this.
Yeah.
And then just say no to it. Right.
Yeah, and that can get very chaotic when you get a lot of viewers in.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, stuff like the open door policy is a big one. Being like, you know, it's totally fine. I'm not going to be offended if you need to leave.
Right.
Like, if you can't watch the show anymore, like, especially, you know, with people who are big supporters of certain streams, you know, they feel bad if they're like, I'm not okay with it, but, like,
yeah,
I want to
support
them.
Yeah, I feel excluded,
but... Yeah, I want to support them. And, you know, I say this a lot in a lot of my horror games, is being like, it's fine if you need to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Please make sure you're taking care of yourself. Like, I don't want you to be feeling, like, uncomfortable watching this stuff. It's totally fine. I'm not going to take it personally, and right. I'd much rather you go and take care of yourself than you know, put yourself through terrible things and like on bad feelings because you feel obligated to. So the open door and content warnings, having stuff like the script change ratings, or like, you know, general, like, if you have like a general, like, we do a lot of violence in this game.
Yeah.
Putting that out there.
Yeah.
Helps a lot, because people can be like, oh, okay, if I'm not really into a lot of violence, I know, you know, that's maybe not be the story for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's something you don't see a lot on streams.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's something that should be used more often, is to kind of discuss, you know, for my, the Grimdark Dragonlance game I'm in. You know, it's pretty explicit. Like, this is very dark. We're going to go into some pretty messed up stuff here and, like, go real deep into some fears of these characters. Like, we're pretty clear about that, and that kind of gives that expectation and makes viewers prepared for that.
Yeah. I think that's interesting, like, I mean, your question, Agatha. Because if you... I think about, like, that, like... darker side of the internet, where there are like the people who would take advantage of that in the chat if you gave them too much control. Like, I'm thinking about like the trolls.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like, that's it's so hard to anticipate something like
exactly.
That.
I mean, a lot of it comes down to community moderation.
Yeah, and having mods in place.
Yeah, it's something that I do a lot of. I do a lot of behind the scenes for different streams and stuff, and being able to kind of moderate the community and try to create the environment where, you know, safety tools are a thing. They're accepted. And, you know, they're not going to obviously... They're not going to be people who are going to be like, well, they're using safety tools in the stream. So I'm sure people can experiment with having safety tools available for the audience. They just have to be aware of, you know, how exactly they're going to implement it and keep on track of it. And think about, like, the five-second delay between video and chat.
Yeah, totally.
If something happens in the game, chat's not going to see it for another 5-10 seconds.
Yeah.
And then it might be like 5-10 seconds afterwards, and you'd be like, oh shit. Like,
and if they say something too, you're going to have to respond, and they might not see a response instantly.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like a 20 second between thing that happened versus being able to adjust it or address it. And even so, it's something that I'm interested in looking into.
Yeah.
And like trying to see if I can create a way to work this out. But for now, I think I'm just giving, you know, permission and space for people to be like, yeah, I need a peace out. Or,
yeah, totally.
You know, something else like this. And also having a space to decompress as a community. Because, you know, we can decompress after a game. Mm-hmm. You know, after the cameras go off, we can all chat in the Zoom call and be like, okay, like, are we okay? Like, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, when you're watching a stream, you don't really have that.
Mm-hmm.
That space, you just kind of, you end up just stopping the stream, and then you're like, oh, now I have feels.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do with them.
Totally.
So having a communal space, like a Discord server, really helped with that, because people then can talk it through.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone can kind of talk about their experiences and decompress their feelings and unpack everything that's happened. And that's really helpful. And I find that very helpful for audiences in particular.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah.
So, what kind of... I know that you're not just doing streams. What other projects are you working on?
So I decided at the beginning of this year that I would start exploring doing more writing stuff. I would kind of just be like, yeah, I don't know how I'll do this. Like, maybe I'll do like a D&D adventure. Maybe I'll write my own thing. I think in February, I think, the emotional mecha jam happened.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. That was some good times.
Yeah. And I saw it on Twitter because that was the start of a lot of game jams on itch.io and kind of picking up on the Twitter sphere. And I was like, oh, that looks super cool. Man, I kind of have an idea, but, you know, the deadline's in like 2 days. I don't know if I could do it. And then I went to bed and I woke up the next morning and it was a snow day. And I went, okay.
Okay, I guess I'll do this.
I think it's the world telling me to give it a shot. So I wrote and laid out and published my first game in 9 hours.
Is it a sad mech game?
It is a sad mech game. It's called Life in the Machine. It's basically a game about relationships and how they change you. So it's a dice-based GM-less game for two players, where one person plays the pilot, the other plays the mech, and it's all about whether you're synced or not. And every time you're not synced, you know, how you end up changing each other, either physically or emotionally or more metaphysically.
That's so interesting. Yeah. I would be down to play this. I really like those sad mech games.
Have you ever played Titanfall 2?
I have not, but I've been told it's a very Titanfall 2 game.
It sounds like Titanfall 2.
Yeah, I had somebody who played it and was like, this is like giving me so many Titanfall 2 feels.
I'm just going to be Cooper and BT.
Yeah, so that kind of started to kickstart me into doing more writing stuff. So I have a couple more games. Again, small, like couple page RPGs. I have Before the Tower Falls, which is a solo Jenga tower exploration game, where you're an explorer in a tower that's about to fall, and you're trying to discover the story in it before you get trapped. So that's one. And then I had the Not a Game Jam game jam.
Oh.
Game.
Okay.
The hashtag Not a Game. Which is your magic circle. So I was like, how about I just do the most abstract, artsiest thing? So I took the magic circle game theory and turned it into a game, question mark.
Nice.
Yeah, and now I'm doing a little more stuff. I do some contract work for indie games now.
Mm-hmm.
I just did one recently for a game that's getting kickstarted very shortly called Bleak Spirit.
Like how shortly?
Let me check the date. Like in a week as of recording.
Ooh. Okay, do we want to just put this episode out in a week then?
Yeah, we could.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, so it's called Bleak Spirit.
It's going live now.
Now on Kickstarter. Now Bleak on Kickstarter. Spirit.
It's essentially a Dark Souls-esque game where you play a character that's exploring a dangerous kind of apocalyptic world. So I got to write a scenario for it. So I got to write a whole setting and the different weird things and dangerous things you can find in it. Mine is, I like to explain it as fae sci-fi horror on Mars.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, you're somebody who's in a isolated and abandoned bio shelter on Mars.
Like the Martian.
Low-key, but there's a lot of weird things happening there. So, yeah, so... Ooh. I got to write for that, which was super awesome.
Yeah.
So.
And you're also, you're our stretch goal for Hearts of Valyrian, which as of right now, there's only 3 days to go. I don't know if we can reach it.
No.
But what you proposed was still very awesome, though.
Silk Punk.
Yeah, Silk Punk.
We should do, you know what we should do? We should do a whole episode on just Silk Punk.
Yo.
I mean,
I am down.
We can do part two of this.
Part two of this.
Yeah, I'm really interested in discussing the difference between what is Silk Punk and what is the current iteration of Xianxia.
Mm-hmm. Let's do that because I also want to do an episode where we deconstruct steampunk.
Oh, God, yeah.
Is this all in one episode? Because this is where I deconstruct what the idea of Silk Punk is, because it is clearly a term created for the Western audience versus what is Xianxia.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's have that episode. Because I do want to do like a steampunk episode where we deconstruct steampunk. Because we did the cyberpunk thing. I still have my feels on cyberpunk.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Although Keanu Reeves in Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah, I was like, yay, Keanu Reeves.
Are you pre-ordering the game? Either of you? Okay, never mind.
I'm a wait for a review kind of guy.
Yeah, same.
But like I'm gonna buy the John Wick game because there's a John Wick game coming out. John Wick Hex. Looks super cool.
Snap.
I was watching like an interview with the creative producer or whatever on how they're making it and why they decided to make it a turn-based action game.
What?
Yeah, because it's like when you're John Wick is super competent and tactical, right? Everything he does in the movies is like he'll shoot this guy, he'll shoot that guy, he'll reload.
I was expecting like Hitman or something.
But it's
way more like strategy.
It's way more strategy, but like you can do dynamic things in it. There's like an action economy that allows you to be like John Wick.
Interesting.
Right? Because like if you suck at Hitman, you don't look competent. Mm-hmm. But like you're supposed to always look competent as John Wick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the difference between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? And like Hitman has this like underlying silly element where you can like dress up and like be do Santa. That. John Wick's supposed to be like kind of efficient, especially with the way he moves, like you know, like he's very efficient.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, let's cyberpunk. I'll probably gonna buy it. I just won't pre-order it.
Yeah, and also for our future episode, we're gonna deconstruct steampunk. and silk punk.
Yeah, and like with cyberpunk, what we could do is we could always do a live stream and play Cyberpunk 2077.
Oh my gosh, everyone can watch me get wrecked. Because I'm really bad at shooters.
Like, why don't we do that?
Yeah, we can do that.
That would be super cool.
And,
like,
be critical of it and all that. And just, like, look how breathtaking Keanu is.
Super critical.
Look at how amazing he is. And
like, oh my God, Keanu.
yep.
I mean, that's going to be me.
Yeah, mood.
Like, Keanu is, like, as Mara said, Keanu is one of my five.
Oh, let's get into that.
I love Keanu Reeves so much. But anyways, we should do a Silk Punk episode because I don't want that to be like an end of episode afterthought. Yeah. I want that to be a full thing.
Yeah, I have many a thought.
Oh my gosh, we need to talk about this.
Yeah, and I also have, it's one of the reasons I chose kind of Silk Punk as my Hearts of Wulin kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Because one of the asks was for, you know, reappropriating steampunk for an Asian setting and game, and I was like, okay, we're gonna go down this route, and I take a very decolonization route to it.
Yeah,
I do a lot of like work to try to talk about, you know, that steampunk is pretty colonialist. It's very Victoriana. It's very like, you know, here we're going to all the tech, like tech is awesome. And we're just going to keep like expanding outwards and unifying everything.
Yeah. And even Chinese history is very problematic in terms of like imperialist tendencies and stuff like that.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that for our D&D game. Yeah. It's one of the things we want to talk about.
Man. Yeah.
That's going to be fun. Yeah, so it's kind of cool to have the opportunity kind of to pitch it, and like even if we don't get that stretch goal, I'm interested in just kind of making it.
Yeah, this might still see the light of day.
Yeah,
ooh. Heard it from here first.
Ooh, exclusive on Asians Represent.
Yeah, that was good. That was a good usage of your sick person voice.
My sick person voice. When Daniel's sick, he becomes a radio announcer.
Anyway, so...
Yeah, let's make that a whole episode, because I think that'd be cool.
Let's do that.
I do want to know, I just have this burning question in my head. I'm so sorry. What is your favorite cake? Because I interrupted that earlier. I do want to know.
My favorite cake? My mom makes a great flourless chocolate cake.
Whoa.
Oh,
it's
damn.
Like both very dense and very light at the same time.
Whoa.
Like a brownie, but not.
But not. It's lighter than a brownie. And it's... She does like very dark chocolate. So
sweet, Agatha. What about you?
What is my favorite cake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's tiramisu. Yeah. Basic like that. Oh yeah, like what,
what's in front of you.
Yeah. Kiana was very kind and brought us 4 cupcakes. And because Daniel's sick, I get to eat all of them. Question mark? I don't know if I actually I basically ate half of them already.
No, they're yours. I can't I shouldn't.
Oh. All right. Yeah, let me help you.
Yeah, thank you.
Let me help you get better by eating.
You got my back.
Totally, 100%.
This is totally not self-motivated at all.
Oh. No, not at all.
Oh, only out of charity.
It's just, you're so charitable.
I am.
So selfless.
I am.
I'll eat all the sweets for you, Daniel.
I know. I'm so selfless and humble.
And humble. My favorite cake, it's odd.
Okay.
I really like those grocery store slab cakes. You know, like, yeah, like the birthday cake.
I do know.
You get it like Loblaws.
Okay.
I love those. Okay. Once a year on my birthday, I eat one of those.
You know what you should do? You should 100% go work at like a government agency, because everyone is always having birthdays in those agencies, and they always have cake, and it's always that kind of cake.
I don't want to work for the government.
Listen, for the cake...
For the cake.
You gotta do it.
But yeah, once a year on my birthday, my parents get me. It used to be like a big slab cake and nobody else in my family likes it. So it would just be me. And for the course of a week, I'd eat a whole cake myself.
I respect that.
Now my mom just gets me like a small one and then a separate cake for everyone else. Like a nice separate cake for everyone else. And I get my slab cake and I just...
You know what?
Go nuts.
As long as you got your slab cake.
That's it. Once a year. That's all I want. That's all I want.
But still think over my proposition, though.
Go work for the government. You know, I can go to... I'll move to Ottawa. I'll work in government.
You don't have to go there?
You know, with our friends Mark Richardson, Eric Beckett, Jason Fair. True.
You don't go there for them, though. You just go there for the kids.
Hey, guys. Whose birthday is it today?
Yeah. Well, anything else?
Okay. We talked about safety deals, which I think was super important, because we wanted to do a whole episode on them. We talked about this.
We did.
And we did it.
We did a thing.
I thought we already had an episode.
We did. We talked about safety tools in one episode, but we haven't dedicated an entire episode to them. Like, we've done an hour on safety tools, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah.
And like, originally I think we were going to talk more about D&D, but I think talking about safety tools in the context of streaming is far more important, because I think streaming is kind of like the new entertainment medium that's out there.
Yeah, for sure. And the thing is that there is no industry standard.
No, there isn't.
We're all doing all sorts of things. We'll all figure it out. So
I think the industry standard is what the most popular channels are doing.
Yeah, which is
unfortunate.
Which is interesting, because it's not super reflective of the stuff that's happening right now.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, like Critical Role is Critical Role. There's no other Critical Roles out there.
Yeah,
that's true. That's not how most of these streams go. it goes for podcasts too, like the Adventure Zone. The Adventure Zone is Adventure Zone.
I love them.
I love them so much.
They are great.
But like,
I love the song that plays.
They're so good.
No, I love them.
Yeah. But like, people try to frame their podcast as, you know, trying to follow the Adventure Zone model, quote unquote. But you can't do that because the Adventure Zone, the Adventure Zone.
Yeah.
Like, yep.
Generally, you're probably not funny enough. Because they're comedians.
They're all comedians.
They're comedians. Yeah. And they're all family.
Yeah.
They have a dynamic.
They have a dynamic, right? And you know, that kind of goes for Critical Role, too. You know, these are friends who have been playing this game for several years now, who are all voice actors and or involved in, like, directing or whatever else. Like, you're not going to hit that. And that's not representative of all the cool, innovative stuff that's happening right now.
Yeah. Have you heard of the Golden Circle?
Yes.
Like Simon Sinek's Golden Circle?
Nope.
I think it's what more people should think about when they're trying to make a podcast. Basically, he wrote this book called Start With Why. It's an amazing book. It's about like how leaders inspire. But basically, the idea is that when you're going to put like a product out there or something, when you have an organization, you have a company or whatever, people are inspired by purpose. Not like a what. So if you're trying to sell something, people aren't inspired by what they're selling. They're inspired by why they're selling.
Yeah.
Right. So like with Asians Represent, it's like, it's another gaming podcast.
Yeah.
But the why of Asians Represent is we want to normalize Asians in media.
Mm-hmm.
We want to talk about issues unfiltered about that we face in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like more podcasts need to think really about like the why they're doing it. If it's like, oh, I want to be the Critical Role, that is not your why.
No. Yeah. That's a very good point. Yeah. Yeah. So it's very interesting. And I think, where it's a Wild West, I use that metaphor a lot. And if you read any of my supplements, like the D&D live streaming and audience interaction thing, I refer to it as the Wild West a lot. But I think it's true. It's this whole unexplored frontier, and we're all just trying to figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
We're all doing it sort of in iterations of each other,
right,
but also our own stuff.
Yeah.
And like, it's kind of, we're all building this weird collective blob of like different techniques and ways of presenting these stories.
Yeah.
So
all unified under like the underlying theme of building safe and inclusive community.
Yeah, and playing games for fun.
Yeah.
And showing people your fun games. Yeah. It's a very weird concept abstractly to
it is
be
when
fair.
You think about it.
To be like, we like to play games and show people our games.
Show people your passion.
Yeah.
Right? You're not gonna compromise, you know, playing games for fun.
Yeah.
That's the underlying thing there.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's cool. This has been like a super cool episode, and I'm glad we're going to do a separate Silk Punk one.
Yeah.
We'll do more D&D episodes.
No, that's fine. No, I'm not salty over that at all.
I've been raising my eyebrows a lot.
I honestly think like if we do a Silk Punk one, it should just be you two. Like I'll just
we can we can possibly see if we can get someone else who's also very interested in this concept.
Yeah, because like that's not my thing.
What
like,
it take?
Like I'll just ask a lot of questions, but I honestly think it would be more productive if it was like you two, or if we wanted to bring in two other people because we got two other mics here.
Oh,
and
true?
I'll just like sit over there and play Animal Crossing.
You play Animal Crossing.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I think that would be very cool. So for the future, we're gonna have a Silk Punk episode.
Yeah, we're gonna do a Silk Punk episode whenever you're free, because you're kind of in Toronto.
Yeah, I'm
school's
I'm
out. Half.
School's out.
Yeah, first of all, congrats.
Thank you. Yeah, school's out, but now I'm working, so it's kind of like
okay. We can talk about your real life.
Outside of this, but
there,
yeah.
Let's do another one. And I think what we should do, we're gonna be doing some more things. I think we should live stream more.
Live stream what?
We can live stream because we have that Facebook page.
Yes.
And we've been sharing links there and stuff like that. But I think we should actually, you know, give that Facebook page a purpose.
All right.
Do like Facebook Lives?
We could do Facebook Lives. Yeah, we could play games.
We could Facebook Live going to grab bubble tea. Because we still need to do that before Jade leaves.
Well, we could do a Facebook Live of our last bubble tea shawarma.
Yeah, as we cry into our shawarma.
His sad face.
Yeah.
And Jade's leaving, but it could be an interesting way that we could also connect with Jade.
Yeah, it's true. Through shawarma.
Through shawarma. I mean, like, through play video games online. I'm playing Divinity Original Sin 2 right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you were talking about that and how it's really hard.
It's a lot of fun, though.
Yeah.
I love it.
I started playing it a bit ago, and then I stopped because I kept on trying to steal things, and then,
you
like,
get in trouble and you get
and
attacked.
And then people keep seeing me. So literally everyone hates me, and I'm like, this sucks.
Consequences. There are consequences to your actions.
It just got a lot easier for me because I realized that one of my party members is kind of like dead weight.
What do you mean?
Like, I got this dwarf character, and he's like this battle mage, but he just like sucks.
Whoa.
He's like, his spells are like not useful to the way I play. Uh-huh. So like right now I have this like skeleton dude.
Oh, right. Oh, no. I was talking about Divinity 2, I think.
I'm playing Divinity 2.
But I'm not playing Divinity Original Sin. Because I know what you're talking about.
Is there a different Original Sin and Original and Divinity 2?
Yeah, there's just Divinity 2.
I'm playing Original Sin 2.
Yeah. That's different. So that's the one where you can like have sex with all your characters.
Wait, I can do that? Party members.
But it's only one part. I watched through this channel, which just like had all of like the post sex combos.
Okay, I'm gonna go upstairs. I'm gonna finish this game. I'll report back.
By the way, the dwarf was a deadweight. You can also have sex with him.
Oh, I already kicked him out of my party.
Oh,
for stealing?
No, I kicked him out of my party because I met this other character, and she's like an enchanter, and she's way more useful and interesting. Mm-hmm. So I was like, want to join my party?
True.
Also, because like I have the Red Prince character. He's like this lizard guy.
Oh my gosh, he's so extra.
He's so extra, but he's so awesome.
Oh, okay.
Because the abilities I have on him, like, let him buff himself with armor. Mm-hmm. So I let him tank everything.
What?
Yeah, because you have magic and physical armor. Mm-mm-mm. And he has an ability where he can basically reinforce himself with magic and physical armor. And he's got like decent attacks.
Uh-huh.
But like I basically put all my good armor on him.
That's so great.
And then I send him in. I originally had the battle mage dwarf, but he would go in and then he'd immediately get killed.
Oh, that sucks.
And
I was like,
oh, fine. And then my main character, who is like an elf, she's like an archer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would like shoot, like I would basically shoot from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
But then I have this fane, he's like a skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually heals when he's poisoned.
Ooh.
Oh, that's so good.
So like I'm like combining that. So when enemies are shooting poison at us, I'm like, stand in the way.
Yeah, true.
So now I have like... the cardinal sin of Dean. No, it's not. I have three range characters and one tank.
That's okay.
I hope so. But yeah, I'm super into it right now.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll start streaming that on our Facebook page.
Yeah. By the way, you can also have sex with the Red Prince. And he has the most obnoxious thing that he says afterwards. Anyway.
Okay, so the goal is to have sex with the Red Prince.
You should.
Bang your character.
Just get a... Ooh, look at this. The skeleton.
I'll yeah, you should. Yeah.
Okay.
You got it.
I got this.
Yeah.
When I finally get there, I'll make a clip of it. We'll put it on Agents Represent Facebook, and great. Then I'll be like,
we can all react to it.
We can all react to it.
Yeah, we'll watch.
We'll watch it together. Oh God.
So weird. Let's think about the why. of us doing that.
I'm just thinking about like other cool things we could do, like The Witcher is coming, like the Witcher TV show. I was like, what if we like watched it live with other people on the One Shot Discord?
What if and we just live chatted it?
The RPG?
Yeah. No, wait, there was one.
There is a Witcher RPG.
Yeah, there is.
Except the bestiary is not in alphabetical order.
Oh.
Ooh.
That bothers me.
That's interesting.
Should I buy it? Because I saw a copy on sale at our local store.
What? Oh, I have it on Steam, so.
Oh, I was talking, there's a tabletop RPG.
No. I heard it's not good.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
I mean, I'm just kidding. It might be good.
I haven't
but I heard bad things about it.
Like, I'd rather just play D&D.
Yeah, that's valid.
In the Witcher world.
In the Witcher world. Or not even, just like, let's just be Monster Hunters. I'd rather play Monster Hunter, the RPG. Have you ever played the video games, Monster Hunter?
Yes.
Yeah, that would be a fun RPG.
Hmm.
Like you're hunting monsters and you got like the big ass swords on them. I think that's just a better video game.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Keanu, for joining us and listening to us talk about,
you know what?
Having sex with your party member.
With the red lizard party member.
You know what? Like, if you've ever watched me play, smooch is my thing in games.
Oh, same.
I smooch. I go and smooch. Like, fair. Is that a villain? I smooch.
But not Strahd, right?
Not Strahd, no.
Not Strahd, because Strahd's a fuckboy.
Strahd's a fuckboy.
That's another shirt right there.
Oh, yes. I do a lot of smooching and bad life choices.
Oh, we should play in a game together.
Yeah, we should.
Well, when we do our D&D actual play, like, you got to be a guest character.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Right? That's, like, the whole idea of the actual play is that, like, we're going to bring in guest characters.
Yeah, I would like my maybe not shrimp character to get all of the smooches, please.
So, okay, I'm down.
And if you want to throw in the bad life choices in there, I can play a villainous character.
All right. I mean they can
villainous shrimp?
No. No, I'm a shrimp.
You're the only shrimp?
I'm the last shrimp on Earth. I'm like, why the last man? But
do you want to be the last shrimp? I think that'd be so interesting.
That's so sad.
Why don't you be the last shrimp?
That should be a t-shirt. Why don't you be the last shrimp?
Well, no, why don't you be the last shrimp? Because we could do a thing where you're the last shrimp and you're taken in by the emperor and made, you know, a member of the elite guard.
Yeah, but technically, I'm supposed to be a part of the river. It's because of the pollution during the Han Dynasty.
Oh my God, is this going to be like an environmental sort of
spirited
like
away? That's what's happening.
Could you like? Oh my God, because the emperor in our game has the ability to move rivers. Maybe he moved your home.
Oh my gosh, I'm Haku.
Maybe he moved rivers, and you're secretly trying to get revenge. And you worked your way up the military.
Wow.
You showed your signs of obedience, but in the back of your head, in the back of your mind, you have a blade destined for the Emperor's heart.
I don't know.
Now I know what character I'm playing next.
Yeah, I'm gonna be like, yo, Emperor, we bros, right? Here, I made this fish dish, and then I'm gonna pull a dagger out of it and stab him.
It's gonna be like in the fish's mouth, like this Chinese steamed fish.
Yeah, yeah.
Just gonna pull a dagger out of the fish's mouth. Oh, let me prepare the fish.
Yeah. And then with like the hot oil too.
Yeah, like what they did in the Qin Dynasty.
Well, then you kill the emperor and then Three Kingdoms starts.
Oh, snap. I done goofed.
Whoops.
Yeah, Qin came.
I feel like you really were. Is Qin, I thought Qin is after.
No.
No, yeah, you're right.
Qin was the first time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's the one that likes wearing black.
Yeah, Qin was there because he thought he was a dragon. Qin was the first dynasty that unified everything.
Yeah,
that
was
after the Warring States period.
Yeah.
But Qin was the first unified dynasty because at the time, the other dynasties were like state level, like small state level societies.
Yeah.
Like after the Shang, then there was the Zhou dynasties, like the Eastern and Western Zhou. There was like the Warring States period that mm-hmm. was part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the Warring States period, the Qin kind of took over, unified all of China.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, the Three Kings. Oh, I'm finally connecting these things. My Chinese history was garbage.
That's fair.
Yeah. I was in middle school in Taiwan for a year. And my math was literally the most garbage of all grades I've ever gotten. I got 23 out of 100 in one of my, and it was okay. Great. I showed my mom and she like burst out laughing and showed my dad who burst out laughing. And then they went around to our neighbors. To show
oh, no.
I mean, if we did the Qin Dynasty and it collapsed, like because of the actions of the party.
Oh, because like you know what, because I stabbed the emperor.
You know what follows the Qin Dynasty? The 18 kingdoms.
Oh, snap.
That's a lot of GM work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which you love, right?
I do. And then we go to Han and then.
Yeah.
It just speeds through all the.
Speeds through everything.
So my secret name is Jinko. Right? Right?
All right, that's okay. And one of the things we want to do with our actual play is actually like talk about the actual Chinese history. With
yeah.
Them.
That'd be cool.
Education.
Yeah. Educational. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. But anyways.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to come on either as a smooch character or a chaos character.
Be whoever you want to be.
Yeah, you can be whoever you want to be. You be you.
You just text me and be like, yo, Daniel, I'm going to be a smooch character.
Yeah, or you'd be like, yo, Daniel, I'm going to be the emperor.
yeah, you want to be the emperor. I'm okay with populating this world with our friends as NPCs.
Oh my gosh, that's hectic.
That'd be super dope.
So we should do that then.
Maybe.
Well, because Jade's character.
We talked about this.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be interesting. Yeah.
But no spoilers.
But we'll talk about this after.
No spoilers. But anyways, thank you, Kiana, for joining us for this amazing episode of Asians Represent, because you're awesome.
Yay, thank you for having me. Awesome. I mean, like, as soon as I saw that Asians Represent was a thing, I was like, oh man, I hope that I can somehow be on there someday.
We're super easy to convince.
I was one of the first people that was like, there's a thing here. And I was replying on stuff. Yeah. And hyping you guys up. So
And thank you for that. I mean Asians Represent is for the community.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we're at this point where we have more guests than we could accommodate.
Yeah, that's true. Turns out there's a lot of Asians.
Turns out there's a lot of Asians. Who would have known?
Right? But, right? You know.
And so if you are a member of the community and you would like to be on the show, like, you know, send us a message, get in touch with us. We are going to do our best to accommodate you. If you got like a Kickstarter coming out, like we could try to do an interview with you, but at best we can maybe like just shout out your Kickstarter. We want to support you. I know there is somebody who I met at Breakout Con, Nicholas. We are going to do an episode about your game. We'll make it happen. We got till July.
It's super cool, and I love what you guys are doing, and like not just with this podcast, but with all your actual play stuff and your community stuff and writing stuff. And
I love what you're doing.
Yeah, seriously. Super cool.
Super cool. And we're all going to one day collaborate on something.
We're gonna make a thing happen.
Make a thing.
Well, and you know, in my perfect world, if you're listening, Wizards of the Coast, first of all, thank you for the D&D Beyond Insider Access. But second, if you want, you know, an Asian fantasy world, an extension of the Forgotten Realms, who better to talk to than the crew and friends of Asians Represent?
Yeah, we'd be able to bring a lot on.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we've got, like, the academic backgrounds. We have, like, the lived experiences. I think we could do something really cool. Mm-hmm. And I think the big thing with Asians Represent, the why, is literally, you know, showing the world and showing the community and the industry that we are here and we are very capable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're just as much part of the community as anyone else is.
Exactly. And that's why I want more people at like D&D Live that are Asian. But let's do our, well, Agatha's ushering me to do our outro. So
I was making the hand gesture, the wrap it up hand gesture.
So I normally do that, but Agatha. I know.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Kiana, again, for coming and joining us in this really informative and entertaining conversation.
And thank you, listener, for, you know, tuning in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you want to take over?
No, go ahead.
I mean, you're the person who does it.
Okay. Asians Represent is part of the One Shot Podcast Network. If you head to oneshotpodcast.com, you can listen to a variety of amazing podcasts.
Such as Session Zero. Session Zero is a discussion podcast that seeks to explore the psychology of role-playing. Very cool. Each episode will feature RP concepts, stories, and tropes viewed through the lens of psychology by clinical psychologist Porter Green and industrial organizational psychologist Steve Discount. Join them on the couch for the next session.
I like that. That was a good trade-off.
Yeah, that was good.
That was really good.
I had the list.
And if you have any questions about, you know, the safety tools that we talked about in this episode, streaming or anything like that, you know, get in touch with us on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at AZNS Represent. That's for you.
Wow.
Or you can email us at AZNSrepresent@oneshotpodcast.com. Wow. I'm trying to cater to everybody here.
That's not how it works.
And all of Kiana's links are going to be in the description at oneshotpodcast.com, because I want to link all of your streams and everything like that. I'm Daniel.
I'm Agatha.
And you've just listened to Asians Represent.